Welcome to the Computer Aided Modeling Design Dev Room KiCad Project Status Talk. My name is Wayne Stamball. For those of you who don't know me, I am the KiCad Project Leader and Developer. Today we're going to talk a little bit about where the KiCad Project stands right now. So without further ado, let's talk about the project news that happened in 2021. The thing that most people will be interested in is the fact that we released stable version 6 on December 25th, 2021. We've already had one bug fix release since then. I suspect there'll be another one shortly. Our version 7 end of year donation campaign raised over $78,000 between December 1st, 2021 and January 15th, 2022. So that was good news, so the project's in good financial shape. We also applied for trademark with the US and the European Union. They were both approved. We are still waiting for the certificates, but looks like KiCad's gonna be trademarked in the US and Europe. We're going to partner with the OpenCAX project for Google Summer of Code. Hopefully that happens. We have a couple of good projects for students who might, or developers who might want to contribute. One of the things we found interesting last year in talking to some of the board vendors that we deal with, they're now reporting that over 30% of all new orders are designed with KiCad. So that would make us the most popular EDA tool out there for those board vendors. Granted, that's not a full representation of all board vendors, but it's really good news. Something that a lot of you will be happy to hear is we've decided to have a annual release policy. So next year at this time, you should be seeing version 7 be released. We also moved our translations to the WebLate platform, which brought us a lot more translators. And so we now have quite a few more translations than we had in version 5.1. So that's good news. We've also added two new members to the lead development team during 2021. We're in the process of adding new librarians and tools to speed up library contribution acceptance. I know we've had a backlog because we've had some of the librarians quit, so we're trying to resolve that issue. We also adopted image design guidelines, so hopefully going forward the user interface images that you see when you use KiCad will remain consistent. We also for the first time, we have two donors that achieve the platinum donor level or sponsor level, which is greater than $15,000 annually. We'd like to thank Eisler and KiCad Services Corporation for sponsoring KiCad. It'll help keep the project moving financially. So on to version 6. So this is not a complete list of everything that happened that got merged in version 6, but it's most of the major features. So here's some of the new common features. The launcher got a new interface, unified toolbar menu image and icon design. Love them or hate them, they're at least now they're consistent. They have a flat design, a constant color palette, so at least it looks like their icons all from the same project. We added an automated project archive tool to the project manager. We unified all the preferences into a single dialog, so now you don't have to open up each editor window to modify the preferences. We added import for CADstar projects. The other thing that'll be interesting is we have a new plugin and content manager, which we will allow vendors to add plugins to KiCad. We already have one official plugin, which is the Eisler has added a plugin, so you can directly order boards from Eisler directly from KiCad, which is nice. We've added project-wide text variable replacements, so you can add text variables and then use them in the schematic or board in board editors, and they'll expand to whatever your replacement text is. We have selectable custom color themes, which can be used for, and we can, there are separate themes for printing. So you can change your colors in KiCad any way you want. The new translations, we have a total of 33 languages now that are not 98% translated. Most of that is just a few languages that aren't fully translated, but quite a few of the languages are 100% translated. The tool behavior for all the editors are now aligned with the board editor tool behavior, so that makes for a more consistent user experience. Libraries are now embedded in the schematic files. This eliminates the need for symbol library cache, so, and makes the schematic files more portable. There's user-definable custom color palettes, so if you don't like the stock ones that KiCad ships with, you can change them to your heart's content. There's now per object property customization, so you can make wires and buses and lines and almost all of your drawing objects different line colors, different line widths, different fill colors if you don't like the stock, the defaults. You can now assign net classes to a net in the schematic editor instead of only being able to assign them in the board editor. You can assign custom object properties based on net class, which is gets passed to the board editor. We have improved bus and signal grouping syntax. So there's some changes there that make for better buses. We have finally have a true sheet numbering system, so you can use any string you want as a sheet number. There's now a unified schematic setup dialog, so you can set up things like ERC priority or severities. The default fields are also in there, so we took all these separate dialogues and unified them into one schematic setup dialog. You now can exclude symbols from bill of material and board export. There's support for changing multiple object properties at the same time, so now you can select multiple wires and change the color or any of their other properties. We provide intersheet references now that you can click on for easier navigation of hierarchical schematics. There's a one-click wire tool initiation, which when you hover the cursor over a pin that doesn't have a wire connected to it, it will, when you click there, it will automatically start. It will automatically start the wiring tool, so you can wire without initiating the wire tool. There's a bunch of new electric rules checks, along with an ignore option instead of just the error and warning severities. We have a new library symbol inheritance model, which allows you to create a base symbol and edit all the fields for any symbols derived from the base symbol. We now have symbols can have alternate pin types, so you can, this is particularly useful for things like microcontrollers that have programmable pin types, so you can change the pin types on the fly for your symbols. We've expanded the SPICE simulator. There's quite a bit of good features in there that we didn't have previously. We also improved the user interface for the simulator. So that's pretty much it for the schematic, symbol editor, and the simulator. The board editor features, if you can now define custom view presets, which allow you to show your board layout the way you prefer. We now have Rat's Nest custom net coloring and visibility control, which is handy. We have independent control of zone, track, and pad, and via opacity, rather than having to change each of them individually. You can now specify a net class color property so that you can see the net in a different color. There's an object selection filter panel, which allows you to enable and disable which objects you want the selection to. So when you do a rectangular drag select, it'll only select the objects that you have selected in the filter. We added supports for curved tracks. There's a lot of improvements to the push and shove router and track length tuning. We now support hatch copper zones instead of only solid fills. We've added an option to remove unconnected annular rings from vias and through-hole pads. There's now a powerful custom rule system, which allows you to write all kinds of text-based rules for your board design. There's a new physical stack up configuration tool, which allows you to do things like define your mask, solder mask color, your silk screen color, how thick the board is. You can even define impedance controls. And if your board vendor supports the Gerber X2 extensions, all of that information gets exported to the Gerber files. We improved the step format exporter. We improved DXF import and export. We added support for hyperlinks export. You can now geographically annotate your board and then back annotate the schematic from the changes. We've added several new dimension types. We add multi-layer zones and rule areas. So now rather than defining a zone on a single layer, you can define zones on multiple layers at once. You can now drag footprints with tracks attached. We added keep out zones to footprints. We also now allow board outline lines and footprints, so they get merged together with the outlines defined in the board editor to generate the final board outline. We've added visual editing of custom footprints or custom footprint pads. In the past, you had to define them by coordinates. So this is for people who like to draw custom pad shapes. There's support for that. We added an option to invert the X and Y axes. So if you don't like the current direction that they're displayed in, you can change that. We improved the Net Inspector tool. We improved the object and grid snapping significantly. We added object grouping, so you can now group a selection of objects into a single name group for ease of use. You can now convert between graphical lines and tracks and back and forth between them if you like that option. You can now draw polygons with arc corners instead of just straight lines. There's also an additional 9 user definable layers and all of the non-copper layers can now be renamed to something other than the default, which you couldn't do before. In the some of the miscellaneous features, we added opacity for the 3D model viewer. We added an E-series resistor calculator to the calculator app, and there we improved the Gerber viewer export to PCB feature, so it does a better job of exporting Gerbers to PCB new. So that's pretty, and there's a lot more. This is by no means an exhaustive list, but these were the major features that you could see in version 6. So what's coming up for version 7? Well, now that we have a new annual release policy, this list will be much shorter than what you've seen in the past. So what we have tentatively scheduled for version 7 is we'd like to go to a single binary design. We will emulate the we'll emulate the standalone board and schematic editors, but the having separate editors will go away. We're going to implement database libraries. We'd also like to implement an output automation tool that'll allow you to define all the things that you want to plot and print and do that from the command line. We're going to embed the worksheet in the schematic and board files. Right now it's problematic, and if you forget to copy your custom worksheet files, then they're lost when you open the board files on another system. We're going to have a proper implementation of net ties instead of the current hack that we have now, where you specify net tie in the description of the symbol. We're going to allow user properties to be added to most objects in both the board and schematic editors. Increase the granularity of the control when updating between the schematic and the board. Right now, you can only select a few things. We're going to finally, hopefully, because it didn't make it in version 6, we're going to hopefully release the new Python API, which will be based on PyBind 11 rather than Swig. And the old Swig one will probably go away after version 7. We also want to add Altium library support. Right now we just import Altium projects. The footprint library support's already been merged into the master branch, so you can, if you like to use Nightly's, it's already available. We're going to add CADSTAR library support as well. There's quite a few improvements we like to make to the net classes to get us more on par with some of the other proprietary tools. One of the things we're also going to have to do during version 7 is switch to the native platform graphics, which is because macOS is doing away with support for OpenGL, we're going to try to go to the native graphics rendering. So that's going to be a major change in 7. We're going to write a third-party project import wizard. So one of the things that's an issue right now when you import third-party projects from KiCad is it's not clear how things are working. So we're going to try to streamline that. We're going to implement pin and gate swap. This will allow you to swap pins and gates in the board editor and then push the changes back to the schematic. One of the things we didn't have planned but got somebody added was system font support. So you now can use any font that your system has for both the board and schematic editors. This has already been merged and is turning out to be quite useful. We have some folks working on electromagnetic simulation, where we use the mesh from the board layout, and we can simulate, do some RF simulations with that. That's hopefully happens for version 7. We're going to add support. So for the schematic editor, we're going to add support for flat hierarchy, multiple file designs. This is something that almost all of the proprietary tools use, and it'll allow you to not have to use sheets for flat hierarchy designs. We're going to allow custom power symbols, so you don't have to create a new one for every voltage that you want to use. We have some major SPICE simulator improvements underway. That'll make it in 7. We're going to have multiple number pin definitions. They're also known as stack pins. You'll be able to create a single pin and define as many pin numbers with that one pin. This is handy for complex ASICs that have lots of ground and power pins. We're going to improve our Eagle importer so that it can import multiple sheet schematics. And we're also currently working on our orthogonal wire dragging for the schematic editor as well. Board editor features. The object inspector should finally make it in 7. That'll allow you to click on an object and see all its properties and edit them without having to open a separate dialog. We're going to add scaling of imported graphics. Right now, they only import as they are. We're going to search by object properties. Right now, you can only search by object text, so that'll be handy. We're going to have multiple grid configurations, including overlay grids and circular grids. Pad stacks should finally make it into version 7. That would eliminate one of the big holes that we have in our feature stack for the board editor. We're going to add IPC 2581 export, since that's quickly becoming a standard. We have length tuning improvements that we plan on making to make the length tuning more accurate. There's going to be plotting improvements, which will allow you to plot certain layers on every layer that you plot for documentation purposes. We're going to modify the point editor to support curved polygons. We're also planning on adding teardrop support. That's already been merged, so you can play around with that now if you want to. And the step exporter is going to be integrated rather than a separate standalone tool for version 7. So as you notice, that list is significantly shorter than what we had planned in the past. Hopefully we get all those done and ready by this time next year. So that'll be it for version 7. So wrapping up, I want to say thank you to all of the developers who contribute their valuable time and talent to the KiCad project. I want to thank all of our sponsors and everyone who has generously donated to KiCad. The project is really moving along fast now, and so your support helps keep people working on the project. Thank you for your interest and continued support of the KiCad project. I'd like to say a special thanks to Seth Hillbrand, who volunteered to lead the dev room and makes this presentation possible. And I hope to see you all at KeyCon 2022. I'm going to keep our fingers crossed that this whole COVID thing comes to an end and we can actually have a live conference again. Thanks everybody for coming, and hope to talk to you in the question and answer period to follow.